Good afternoon, everybody. The topic for today's shiur is recalibration in Elul. That Elul, it's time to recalibrate. And for years, I've been struggling with the month of Elul. As a matter of fact, I have to look out and see how many times in the past few years here at Bnei Avichai, I spoke about Chodesh Elul. One year I spoke about whether Elul in itself, in its essence, the time of tshuva, or only because it's preparation for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippurim. And the reason why I struggle with Chodesh Elul as opposed to Yom Kippur or Seder Shemei Tshuva is because there's really very little in Chazal. And when I speak about Chazal, I speak about the Torah HaNigla, the revealed Torah, Tanakh, Gemara, Mishnayos. Very little that connects Chodesh Elul to the Chodesh of Tshuva, to the reputation that Elul has today. And in truth, when someone saw the announcement, a good friend of mine saw the announcement that the Shir, he called me up and he said to me, "Tell me, are you going to be discussing Chassidus in the Shir?" And I said, "As a matter of fact, I am. If you look at source number 6, you'll see the Likutei Torah from the Alter Rebbe, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe." That being said, I do want to begin the Shir by speaking about some reference to Elul in Chazal. And I'll begin with the weaker references and end up with the strongest reference. So the first reference is in Sefer Avudraham, that he quotes the Medrash, and he says, "V'omer the Medrash al derech tachot." Sort of like in a joking manner, he quotes this Medrash. But he says, the Medrash is, in other words, what he's saying is that the Medrash is not to be taken 100% literally, but there's a certain idea in this Medrash. But he says it's the Medrash. So we know that right now we are holding in the Zayin de Nechemta, the 7 weeks of Haftoras, of Nechama, of comfort. As a matter of fact, this past week there was a Machlokas, the Machaber, and the Ramah. Should we read the regular Haftorah of the 7 weeks, Aniyat Tohara, or should we read the regular Haftorah of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh? And Minhag Ashkenaz, the Ramah says, is to read the regular Haftorah of Minhag Ashkenaz, because the regular Haftorah of Rosh Chodesh also has words of Nechama, words of comfort in it. But the Medrash says like this, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu begins, the Anavi begins, with the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Shabbos Nachmu, the week after Tisha B'Av, "Nachamu Nachmu Ami." So, my nation should be comforted. Klomar, to say, source number 1, this is from the Avudraham, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Omer Leviim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the prophets, "Nachmu Nachmu Ami, you should comfort my nation, you should comfort it." And what happens? The next week, the Navi responds to the words of Am Yisrael, "Balzem Meshivas, Meshivas Neses Yisrael." The Jews respond to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But Tomer, they say, Tomer, Tzion, Tzion, they say, "Tzion, Azabani Hashem," that Hashem has forsaken us. They refuse to be comforted. They respond and say, "Be comforted, God has forsaken us." Klomar, "Eini mitfayeset minachamas hanavim," I will not be comforted, I will not be appeased with the comfort of Nevi'im. But Omer, "Uri, Uri, lifshi oz, ro Hashem Uri ki mekedem." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to awaken, awaken. He says, "Makom Hashem Aftir, Makom Aftor, Zu Ani Asuara, Lomar." He says, so Lomar, Asuara Lomar, the poverty-stricken tempest does not have the mercy it needs. He says, "Klomer Nevi'im Chozrim Va'omer Nesadol Nekadosh Baruch Hu, He makes Nesadol Nesbaizu V'Tanchum Shalonu." It's very nice that you're saying this, but Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael Lo Luchama, they're not comforted. See, he says, so what happens? Alzeh Chozer Kodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, this coming week, so it's really the first Shabbos from Kodesh Elul, "Anochi, Anochi, Yuma Nachemchem, I'm going to comfort you, don't worry." But Amar Od Roni Akar Lo Yalada, he says, "But Amar Kumi Ori Ki Ba'orech." So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we should rejoice. He says, "Kumi Ori Ki Ba'orech, get up my light, your light has come." And then finally, the Shabbos Rosh Hashanah, so he says, "Alzeh Meshiv Nech Yisrael, so is us is Ba'ashem." So he says, so now we see the Chodesh Elul, I'm based on the Haftorahs, are devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu trying to comfort Am Yisrael, the compulsion of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the thing. We don't want to be comforted. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps coming and saying, no, you have to see, I'm here for you. I will comfort you. And at the end, finally, we say, so such is Hashem. So we see that Kodesh El is devoted to that concept of reconnecting to God, based on these Haftorahs. That's the idea, reconnecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And just to explain this Medrash, what's the Medrash saying? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami. And Ami Yisrael says, what? What are we really giving us, God? We just want some comfort. We want to go, Hashiveinu Hashem Lecha, V'neshuva Kimei Kedem. We want a Kodesh Baruch Hu return things the way it exactly were. And that's what we're working on in Kodesh Elo. We don't want just some comfort. Forgive me for saying this. We don't just want Medina Yisrael. Mitzvah Baruch Hashem is great, thank God. We live here now. But we want it all. We want the Beis HaMikdash. We're not just happy with what we have. That Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us so much. We say we want more. Why do we want more? Because we want the full relationship. And we see that most of the Haftorahs, the bulk of the Haftorahs are in Kodesh Elo. So we see in this Haftorah that we see in this Medrash that Abu Draham quotes that there is some reference to tshuva, to reconnecting to God in Kodesh Elo. You look at source number two, the Tur. The Tur again quotes the Psikta. So the Tur says, "Mibreishis hayud zayin v'tamuz machshir min ha'parshios doma v'doma." So the Psikta says that what should the Haftorahs be? Every kehila can choose the Haftorah they want. Every kehila can choose the Haftorah they want. They don't have to, and throughout our history, there were different customs in different kehilas. Obviously now, today, most of us follow the same minhag. He says, however, from Yud-Zayin to Tammuz, he says, Dom V'Doma, he says, Atiz V'Tammuz, so you match in the Parsha, Dom V'Doma, Misham V'Elech, Lefi Hazman, Lefi Amor. From Jisha V'Yivas V'Tammuz, then already, it's not up to our choice. It depends on what's going on. It says, Tlosser Barnuso, so we go ahead and we read the three Haftorahs of Parnuso, the three Haftorahs that predict the Churban, starting from Perik Aleph Nirmiyo, including Chazon Isho Ben Ya'amotz, right? And then the Sheva the Nechamta, and then the Tarti, the Tiyufta, the two of Tshuva. So let's go through the whole list to see what's going on. So Tlosser Parnuso is Divrei Yirmiyahu, Shimu Dvar Hashem, and Chazon Yishayahu before Tisha B'Av. He says, the Shevet Nechamta, so he says, Nachmu Leschanon, Vatomer Tzion, Le'ekev, An Yasoara Le'rei, Anochin Ochel Le'shoftim, so that will be this week's parasha, Rani Akara, Le'chisete, Kumi Ori Le'kisavo, and so Sosiv, Le'atem Le'tzovim. He says, and then he says, like this, and what happens in a year like this, I think a year like this, when there's a Yelech, he's in Rosh Hashanah, I'm sorry, so between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, then you do Dirshu, not our custom. And Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, he says, Ben Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, but Yom Kippur, the Sukkot, we do Shuva Hashem. Now we have a different minute. We do Shuva Hashem between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. But Rosh Hashanah is before Yom Kippur. I'm sorry, we do Shuva before Yom Kippur, right? They used to do Dirshu Hashem, the Haftorah of a regular Shom, on Shabbat Shuva. And they would do Shuva Hashem between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. And when Rosh Hashanah, when Hazinu is before Yom Kippur, so then they do Shuvi Yisrael before Yom Kippur. Okay, and then he mentions the other minhag, our minhag, that if there's a Shabbos between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, so in a Shabbos Shuvah you go ahead and you do Shuvi Yisrael, and between Yom Kippur and Sukkot you do the Adaber David. Okay, so what do we see? We see again that it sounds like all these Haftorahs are connected on some level. You have first the Shalosh Tefernusa, which symbolized the fact we move away from God. Then we have designed the Chemta, we're coming close to God. And now we come close to God, now it's time to go ahead and do tshuva. How do we explain that? They ask the question that, Moshe Yom Kippur, so it's a famous question. We start off, we say, alright? We just went ahead and we just daven nila. Okay? And I can tell you that in most shuls, I assume, nila is davened with kavanah. With kavanah. I grew up in the yeshiva. So in the yeshiva, davening is taken very seriously, certainly Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And I remember davening in a shul once, I mean, what shul it was, and people were talking during Kia Shofar, in Rosh Hashanah, it blew me away, right? And Rosh Yom Kippur, but during Nila, no one talks. Everyone does tshuva. During Nila, in an Orthodox shul that I know of, everyone takes it very, very seriously. And you know, and then we daven Mila, we see Lashon Bava Yerushalayim, we go ahead and we dance, and there's no time. You go immediately into Ruach Mechaper Avam. Whatever. Give me at least a few minutes, you know, until after I daven Shemnas very quickly because I want to eat. You know, maybe I skipped a few words of Kiddush Lavana. Maybe I pushed someone outside the door. Maybe I didn't make a bracha with Kabbalah. What Ruachum? One of the answers is given is because finally, after you and Kippur, you realize you understand a little bit more of Kadosh Baruch Hu is, and now you can understand, oh my gosh, what did I do last year? Right? So, okay, but what do we see? So, in other words, once you have the Zion of the Nechemta, once you go ahead and come closer to Kadosh Baruch Hu, you reestablish relationship, now there's time to do tshuva. So, really, what you have is you have, according to this Chazal also, there is some reference to tshuva in Chodesh Elul. Okay, the strongest reference to tshuva in Chodesh Elul is source number 3. And that's the Torah quotes in Hilchos Hashanah and Tukta Fayalef. Tanya Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, Rosh Chodesh Elul. In Rosh Chodesh Elul, so we know what happened. What happened was, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Har Sinai to get the Torah, and the Jewish people made a mistake. He sent to the Egel. He came back down, and he saw the Egel, and he broke the Luchos. Moshe Rabbeinu went 40 more days in order to Mikabel Kapara. Then he went there another 40 days to get the Torah to Luchos Shnios, the second set of the Seres Adibros. And Rosh Chodesh Elul, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu Moshe, Alei Alayo Hara, come to me in the mountain, come back for a third time. So as Allah, he came up, Mikabel Luchos Achronos, to Mikabel the last Luchos, they viru Shor from Machana, and they went ahead and they blew a shofar in the camp, and no one should make a mistake. Moshe of Allah Lahar, La Moshe went up to the mountain. Don't make a mistake in the counting again. Don't come up with Marash Chorus, the thoughts that Moshe Rabbeinu died. They need to find a new leader. They blew a shofar so everyone knows exactly what's going on. Achra Shalo Yitu Od Achra Vodas Galilim. They won't be obeyed. Worship idols again. But Kadosh Baruch Hu Nisale, and when you blow the shofar, and that shofar is the commitment to be very careful, you won't be over in Aveira. So because of that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was lifted to the shofar of Am Yisrael. Shenemar, it says, Allah Elokim Betrua, Hashem B'kol Shofar. Ulechein, the Ratur uses this Lashon, a very interesting Lashon. Kivkinu Chazal, the Chazal or Nesakeh. Sheyiyu Tokim Rosh Chodesh Elo, V'chol Shana V'shana, to blow the shofar Rosh Chodesh Elo. So in the words of the Tur, even though blowing shofar in Chodesh Elul is a reshus, and for that reason we don't blow Rosh Hashanah, he uses the word, it was enacted by Chazal to do it with Tzibur and Shul. He said, V'chol Shana V'shana, V'chol HaChodesh, K'day LaHazir Yisrael Sheyasu Tshuva. See, he says, Chazal or Mesachim to blow the shofar of Chodesh Elul for sure, and maybe as an extension of that, others, or Chazal, it's not clear from the Torah, said to blow the whole month. Why? In order to warn the Jews to do tshuva. Just like the shofar was blown when the Jewish people, when Moshe went up to Har Sinai a third time. So it's blown Chodesh Elul, and the Chanas Chazal to do tshuva. He says, Shenemers, it says, Im Yitka Shofar Ba'ir, that he says, that if you blow the shofar in the city, people won't be afraid. We should blow the shofar. We should hear the shofar. We should be afraid. That's the kana. And also, they were army of the satan to fool the satan. That what the satan should, should start getting concerned that Am Yisrael is really working. He says, they mentioned a minute that somebody blew in the morning and the evening. So here you see, according to the Medrash, the Torah quotes, there was definitely a Chazal definitely designated already Chodesh Elul as a month of tshuva, and for that reason it was a takana, according to the words of the Torah, to blow shofar Rosh Chodesh Elul. So I'd like to understand what exactly is Chodesh Elul? What is the tshuva of Chodesh Elul? We'll come to that in a second. It's very important to know. Because, I think we walk around, people walk around. So first of all, I have to tell you, in the world of yeshivas, Chodesh Elul is very pronounced. Okay? And the truth is, for myself, even though I teach in yeshiva, okay, busy. So I don't know necessarily, if I think about Chodesh Elul like it should. As a matter of fact, I always say, when someone comes, oh my gosh,
I'm not ready, okay? Now, obviously, I'm a Rav Vashol, so it means I'm not ready means I only have 6 rushes. But the bottom line is, are you really prepared for Rosh Hashanah? You're prepared. So if you really spend Chodesh Elul, you should be prepared. But what is Chodesh Elul? And it's very important to understand Chodesh Elul, because if Chodesh Elul is the month of Tshuva, and you're doing the wrong thing, then you're not going to get it, but you should. And the Likutei Halachos, the Baal HaTanya points out, we'll get to it in a few minutes, that Chodesh Elul is not like Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It's very different. Okay, and because it's very different, it's important to understand. And if you prepare properly during Chodesh Elul, then you'll be able to appreciate and be affected by Yom Neroi in the high holy days, Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, Aseres Yimei Tshuva. But it's very important to understand what it is. The Beis Yaakov, I actually saw this idea as a basic, about to make connection to Beis Yaakov about Melech Biderman Sefer, but he points out like this. He says that what happened at Matan Torah, this isn't connected to Chodesh Elul, but you can't connect it. What happened at Matan Torah? Why is Matan Torah so special? Obviously, when the Jewish people received the Torah, it was special. But really, they knew they were getting the Torah Pesach time. So what made Matan Torah special? So he gives the mashal, he gives the parable, he says, but let's say a person goes ahead and, you know, he deals in lead. He deals in lead, and what happens is he buys barrels of lead, and he sells the lead to other people, a retail. And one day, we'll say, Reuven sells the lead, and one day Shimon goes and Shimon buys the barrels of lead. A barrel of lead. He goes home, getting ready to use it, and he opens the barrel, and he sees there might be a little bit of lead on top, but underneath the little lead, there are tons of gold coins. So all of a sudden, Shimon is a wealthy man. Puts his house up for sale. He needs to move to either move somewhere else. And what's going on to him? What happened? And he tells the story. And he says, yeah, I bought this lead from Reuven, and in the barrel I found all these gold coins. So Reuven hears the story. Well, it's my gold coin. He says, I was calling it. It was mine. How can you have it? So if the money really belonged to Reuven, he'd be right. But he says, the bottom line is Reuven cannot be calling it because Reuven did not know that it was his. He didn't know it was there. You can't be calling it something unless you know it was there. A similar shaila happened last year. I don't know if you follow the news. But I found the shaila fascinating. But in the mirror, and I was talking about in the mirror during lunch one day, have a nice lunch break, there were a few boys sitting in the dira, sitting, talking, you know, very nice thing to do. And one of the boys was sitting on a comfortable chair, but there was something bothering him. And there's something wrong with the chair. So he decided to pick the chair upside down to see what was wrong. And he picked the chair upside down to see what's wrong, and all of a sudden, it sounds like tens of $100 bills came out of the chair. Tens of $100 tens, okay? So, you know, So everyone is like all of a sudden very shocked. And the one boy that was sitting there, one of the boys, he quickly goes, grabs the money, and stuffs most of the money into his pocket. Okay? So I saw on the news, right? They went to Din Torah. So I happen to know somebody who's involved in Pesach Halacha. I don't want to say who it is. A very big Talmud Chacham Adayan. So I happen to talk with someone else. I said, by the way, do you know this story? He says, do I know the story? He says to me, they came screaming into the Beis Medrash, they wanted Din Torah. So, and I said to them, got to hold back, you know, a Din Torah, you just don't do like that. So what were the Tainas? The Tainas were like this. Taina number one was the person who found the chair 3 years ago, now is married, and he wasn't there, said, listen, it's my money because I found the chair in the garbage, right? The people in the Dira said, it's my money because it's our Dira, Chinya Chatzar. And the guy who grabbed it said, no, it's my money because it was all hefty. You know, no one made a king on it. No one knew it was there. So, they didn't listen. Anyways, so what he says probably belongs to the guy who grabbed the money. Okay? That belongs. So, I'll tell you, so why? Because if you don't realize that it's there. Now, I am not recommending that people should do that. I'm not sure that's the right thing. A similar story, I can tell you, happened to me. Right after I got married, I was sitting in the I got married Lach BaOmer. So after Shabbat Baruch, I was sitting in the Yayin Beis Medrash with my Chavrusa. And my Chavrusa, besides learning in the afternoon, he was a teacher, and anyone remembers, used to be one of the schools of YU, it was called JSS. JSS was more for whatever it was for. And some boys, some students came to Beis Medrash. They just moved into an apartment building. And they were cleaning up. They found a set of sefer called Sefer Moadim. And they asked us if we want the set Sefer Moadim. The truth is, neither of us wanted it. I was familiar with the sefer. Sefer Moadim is a very nice sefer because it includes everything that people wrote amongst all the on all the holidays, starting from the Tanakh through the Gemara, Rishon and Machronim, and through the Maskilim, those who were not Ma'aminim. So that's the reason why I didn't want it. But they're sitting there talking. So I opened the sefer on Shavuos. It was right before Shavuos. I opened the sefer, and all of a sudden, I pull out an envelope. So I open the envelope, and out of the envelope comes $1,500 bills. And so at that point, the boy said, "Hey, that's our money. It was from our apartment." And my chavrusa said, "You wanted to give me, so it's my money." And I said, "Right now it's in my hand, so right now I'm in charge." So I said, "We have to go ask the Shiloh." And my father wasn't in town that week, so we went, we went to ask Rav Leich, and Rav Leich said, "Listen," he said, "you have to go ahead and you have to find out who was living in that apartment before." You have to understand that in those days there were people who didn't trust banks. They don't trust banks, but certainly then. And you have to find who belonged to. $1,500, I think about it that long ago. It was like, let's say, just 30 years ago. So that was 2 months rent plus, you know. So, you know, 2 months rent plus for a person learning Gol is a big thing. So my father came in, I told him the story. He said to me, "You don't want the money." He said to me, he says, "You don't know what's going on. And the truth is, I stayed out of it. I don't know what happened." But I spoke to the sign. He said, "They had to do the same thing. They put a sign up and see it's all left money in a chair." But, The fact of the matter is that unless you know something is there, you're not Conan. So if you don't know what Elul is, coming back to the shir, you can't be Conan. So we have to understand what Elul is. If we want to take advantage of Elul, all of us, we're not B'nai Yeshiva, we're busy, we have things to do. We still have to understand what Elul is, and maybe Elul is more relevant to us than to the whole world, because we are very busy. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to skip source number 5, and I'd like to go right to source number 6. All right, now, if you've all heard, the Lubavitcher Hasidim, this is based on source number 6, they refer to Elul as Melech Basoda. The king is in the field, all right? The king is in the field. All right, so come Rosh Hashanah, the king is not in the field anymore. Right now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in the field. And the question is, what does that mean that the king is in the field? If we understand what that means, we'll understand what Chodesh Elul is about. It's a very important idea. So he says like this, he starts off and he says, and I'm going to read most of it, Ani l'dodi, v'dodi elitis in Parshas Re'eh, everyone knows, I am to my beloved, and my beloved is to me. So the first point in this pasuk is, it's not what starts first, I'm to my beloved. Ani l'dodi. In other words, I'm supposed to start it. It's not like HaKadosh Baruch who starts it. That might be Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. But Ani l'dodi, once we have I to my beloved, then HaKadosh Baruch who responds, l'dodi li. So what's the idea? See, he says that Chodesh Elul begins Vanila Dodi. What does that mean? It's Arosa de la Teta. What does that mean? It starts off from the bottom. It's not that it starts off from Shemayim. We have to begin. We have to arouse our connection to Chodesh Baruch Hu. Until Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And then, after Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, so then our Chodesh Baruch Hu comes down from the top. So first it's Vanila Dodi. We begin it. We create it. And then HaKadosh Baruch responds in Chodesh Tishrei. He says, "Smolo tachas roshi." He says, so first his left hand is under our head, the left, then the right hand hugs us. We have to start. Okay, so now, so what does that mean? Because he says in the third line, that Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is the time that God openly reveals himself. He says, and that's when we speak about all Hashem Melech, we talk Melech Elyon, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu openly reveals himself. He says that either afilu ba'olamos hanalamim, that even in the hidden worlds, everyone is afraid, is in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, and then it goes upon everybody. So he says that's Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. So he says, and this is the Dodi Li. So we turn the page, but first the top line in the second page. First we have to go ahead and awaken this by our own movement from below, which is Elul. So what he says, and he says, again, there are a lot of Kabbalistic concepts here that I don't understand, but Elul is the time that the 30 minutes of God are revealed to him as a rachamim. That's why we say Slichos, and the Sephardim say Slichos all Chodesh Elul. So he said, so he asked the question, the second line. So if Elul is so special, why is Elul a weekday? Elul is a weekday. As a matter of fact, I think that Chodesh Elul, correct me if I'm wrong, from Rosh Chodesh Elul until Erev Rosh Hashanah, we skip one day of Tachanun. If you're not Hasidic, I think not. I think it's a full, there's a full month, unless there's a Sandik, a Bris, you know, or a Chasson. You're not gonna skip one day of Tachanun. So he asked the question, why is the Yemos HaChol? Why isn't it Yontif like Shabbos and Yontif? Because on Shabbos and Yontif there is a much greater revelation of God. So we should make it more Yom Tovim. It should be more of a holiday to see God more. He says, especially at the time of the revelation of Yud Gimel Midos. He says, and he says like this, Ubevada, at the end of the third line, Yesh Hefesh Gadol ben Yom Kippur and Elul. There's a big difference in Yom Kippur and Elul. Elul is not Yom Kippur. Achine Yuvan, he says, he gives a mashal. He says, you know, if you want to go see a king, it's not easy to go see a king. It's not easy. You have to go ahead and you have to make an appointment. You have to, you know, and even make an appointment. I have to tell you, you know, if I'm not calling him a king, but, you know, I'm a Soloveitchik. Okay, let's call a spade a spade. Okay, Netanyahu knows the Soloveitchiks. He knew my father, all right? I guarantee you, I could not get into Simeon Netanyahu unless he would think I'd bring him votes. That's all he was, okay? All right? President Trump knows the name Soloveitchik. He might not pronounce it right, but he knows the name Soloveitchik. All right? I couldn't get in right now. Okay? However, she said, and when I go see a king, it's very difficult to go see the king. However, when the Melech is besodeh, then everyone can go to the Melech as long as you pass, he says, as long as you pass security. He says, his words are, before he comes to the city, Yotzin Anshe Yir Likrasso, everyone goes out to see him, Umekablam Pana Besada, and they go ahead to receive him in the field. Bazar Shayim Kol Mi Sharotza Lotzeis, anyone can go out. He says, Lahakta Panav, who Mekabal as Kulam Vesaber Panam Yapos. He receives everyone Vesaber Panam Yapos. Umar upon him Sokhos the Kulam, and he shows half faith to everybody. Ubulechto Yiro, when he goes into the city, Harehim Hokamacharov. However, when he goes into his royal palace, so only those of mission go in. Those who have the Chorm Shabbat Yechidei Skula. And that's the idea of Chodesh Elul. And Chodesh Elul, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Basodeh, is not a Yontif. Everyone can see God. No matter where you're holding or what you're doing, you don't have to be the holiest person on earth. A person whose thoughts are like in Shmei Shemayim, the highest of heavens. Even a person who's rooted on earth, obviously you have to connect in some way, is able to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the great HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea of Melech Basadeh. He says, I'm Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. Then you have to be a Yechidei Skula. He says, that's why Yom Kippur, everyone's a Yechidei Skula. We sit in shul the whole day. We don't eat, we don't drink. In a certain sense, we stay away from all physical comforts because we want to all be a Yechidei Skula. But that's not what Elul is about. Elul is where the Hamon Am, myself, people who are simple Jews, can connect HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Basodeh. And that, he says, and that's the bottom line, is we can go out and see the light of God in the Sada. That is the awakening from below. That's that Melech Basada. So what does that mean? What does that mean? So I was thinking, what it means is like this. Then how do you see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Chodesh Elul? It's very simple. Baruch Hashem, we have mitzvahs, we have Torah. Chodesh Elul is not devoted to shofar. It's true, we blow shofar, but that everyone wants to hear shofar Rosh Hashanah. People are in shul, they hear shofar, they don't hear shofar. We don't have the mitzvahs of lulav and esrog. We don't, and you know, the truth is, if you look at the Rambam talks about Seder Shemei Tshuva as being a time of tshuva. He says, Chodesh Elul is to greet Hashem the Sada when you're doing the regular mitzvahs on a daily basis. Not the special mitzvahs, not a yomtiv. Chodesh Elul is the time to realize how important every special, every single mitzvah is. That's what Chodesh Elul is about. Because it's Melech Basadeh. Yes, we love Shabbos. We love Yom Tov. All those mitzvahs are very special. But the Rav Shlomo says, the Baal HaTanya says, the Alter Rebbe says, it's not what it's about. It's Melech Masadeh. It's when God's in the field, you have to take notice of everything that we have on a daily basis. Whether it's the Tilas Yadayim in the morning, it's the brachas that we make, the davening we make, Kriya Shema, Tzitzis, Tfilin. All these are very special mitzvahs. They're all very, very special. You know, there's a famous story about the Vilna Gaon, which it's very hard to know exactly what happened. But there are two girsos in the story, and the one girs is correct. So the Vilna Gaon's yurtzeit is on Chol Moed Sukkot, supposedly. Chol Moed Sukkot. And they say that right before he died, he picked up the mitzvah. So the way the story goes down, he picked up the mitzvah tefillin and said, this mitzvah tefillin is so special, he says, it's worth, 1 second of tefillin is worth more than Olam Haba. That story can't be true because the Vilna Gaon did not work for the Chol Moed, okay? So they say the story is about tzitzis. Okay, the story is about tzitzis. But that's what Chodesh Elul is about, is to realize how special every single mitzvah is. It's hard, it's not easy. Melech Masada. Because why? Because every mitzvah helps us connect. When we do a mitzvah, we connect to Chodesh Baruch Hu. We have a role in life, we have a value, there's a purpose in our life. And that's Melech Masada. There's nothing special, just every mundane mitzvah, every mundane mitzvah. Do you realize how special mitzvah is? To think about it, I have to tell you that one time, just understand, how much was still a mitzvah? Because one time I was driving from Chicago to New York, driving on Route 80. It's a long ride, 16 hours. I was driving on Route 80. If anyone has rode on, I don't know what it's like today, but it was a two-lane highway with trucks all over the place. Trucks all over the place, right? And as I was slowing down right before the Delaware water gap toll, I hydroplaned. I took a 360-degree skid, and it was a nice, I didn't get hit. I will tell you that my blood pressure for those minutes must have been very, because my pulse was really beating. Okay, it was beating. It's like I crossed the water gap. I got off the road. I went to a gas station. I bought a can of Coke. Not understanding why I bought a can of Coke and why my pulse was beating so much. Anyways, and for half an hour, the next morning, the tefillin the next morning, is like, you just realize, wow. That's how we're supposed to feel about mitzvahs, and that's what Chodesh Elul is about, to realize that every single mitzvah is important. If you go in and you look at the Rambam, and Hilchos, you know, there's a, I might have mentioned this story before, but I think they have this in New York. Maybe in New York everyone sees it. And in Chicago, they used to have on busy street corners, newspaper stands. I used to get in New York, newspaper stands. And the truth is, they didn't sell newspapers. They sold newspapers. Chicago Tribune, Chicago Sun-Times, Chicago Daily News. And you would stop the car, you open the window, roll the window down actually in those days, and you'd go ahead and speak to the guy, you'd throw him a dime, a nickel, a quarter, whatever it was, he'd give you a paper. He was open on Shabbos 7 days a week. But he was a Jew who came from Europe. And one time, we were talking to him, and he said to us, you know, he said, it's the Shabbos that I left Europe, before I left Europe, I was afraid of going to America. I was afraid of what happened to me. And that Shabbos was a bar mitzvah in shul. And in Europe, if you wanted matir, you had to pay for it. And I bid against a bar mitzvah boy, and I beat him because I realized how important it was that I should have matir. We'll come back to that in a second. But just to realize how special, because every mitzvah does something for us. You know, so we can go ahead and think about the Avodas Yom Kippurim. But Parsha Shoftim is very important, extremely important. Let's look at the next Yimar Makomos. So he says, source number 7. Amru Chacham, and the Rambam says, Tuchas Tam Torah Peregimel. Kom Vavato Satorah Meosher. Anyone who does not keep Torah Meosher, running Torah Meosher. Soul of Avnioni. Okay, so in other words, if you realize that if you have a reason why you can't learn Torah to involve your money, don't worry, because broke with the gear, you won't learn Torah because you're too busy looking for money, because you'll be poor. And anyone who, even though he's very poverty stricken, he finds time to learn, he'll become wealthy, he'll still learn Torah. He says, and Indians and Mefurish, the Torah, Tachas Hashir, Lo Avar Hashem Lekech, Besimcha Tuvlev, Lerov Kol, Vavad Levecha. That in other words, because you didn't go ahead and insert Hashem, Besimcha Tuvlev, so, and you have so much, because Morocco, so you're going to lose everything. So what does that mean? Why didn't you go ahead and learn enough Torah to do mitzvahs? with the right idea, because he didn't think it was so important. What's so special? You look at source number 8 again. The Rambam, Hilchos Yomtiv, the Rambam says, "Para kishadam ochel b'shoshes of zmeach b'regel." Says halacha, when a person eats and drinks on the regel, he shouldn't be too involved drinking wine and laughter, levity. He says, and there's some people, he says, and people think that the more I eat, the more I drink, the more simcha I am. So he says, no, because drunkenness, laughter, harvei, v'kalas rosh, levity, is not a simcha. It's just like stam, you're joking around and foolishness. And we're not commanded to joke and be foolish. We're commanded to be happy that has the service of God. He says, and what does he say? He says, you have to serve Hashem. And he says, because you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha, all these bad things happened to you. So you have to serve Hashem b'simcha. What does it mean to serve Hashem b'simcha? Serving Hashem b'simcha means, as we'll see, that you realize that you're accomplishing something. A person should not think, okay, I did a mitzvah, big deal. A person has to realize and say, I do a mitzvah, it's something special. That's simcha. Whatever mitzvah you do, you have to realize it's a very, very special, special inyan of us. It's a mitzvah. Mitzvah is a great accomplishment. He says, and for that reason, he says, and that's the avod that's begun the simcha. Now, simcha doesn't mean you're walking around with a smile on your face. Simcha means an inner realization that what you're doing is something special. You're doing something special. That's why it's not here on the page. The Rambam goes on and says, what's the simcha? Inviting poor people, inviting widows, inviting people who are unfortunate to your house. That's simcha. Why? Because you do something like that, you're accomplishing something. You have to realize that's an accomplishment. The message of serving Hashem b'simcha is to realize that it's something which you're accomplishing. In the days of the Churban, before the Churban, people thought, why is mitzvah so important? Okay, don't do it. It's not so important. No, it has to be a simcha. You have to realize that's Chodesh Elul. If you look at Rabbeinu Bachaya in this pasuk, this is the pasuk Parshas Kisavo. He says, "Yashimenu haKosu ba'avdu Hashem Yisbarach." The pasuk basically causes us guilt. It makes us guilty that we serve Hashem and the vote is not for simcha. He says, "Bislati shechayev ha'adam ala simcha v'isashtu mitzvos." He says, because a person is obligated to serve Hashem b'simcha when he does mitzvos. V'asimcha, and he says, that the maista mitzvah, mitzvah ne'atzma. And the simcha, the maista mitzvah, is mitzvah by itself. So what does that mean? Everyone knows, Machmir Vestal says, mitzvah gedol yos b'simcha, big mitzvah be b'simcha. Rabbi Nachai says, no. The mitzvah is to do mitzvos b'simcha. That's the idea. He says, besides the schar in the mitzvah, you do it b'simcha, That's what's involved, and therefore the Alkein Yanish Vekan punishes, it cascades the person who serves Hashem. It doesn't do b'simcha, and therefore a person has to do the mitzvahs b'simcha. Now, what does it mean b'simcha? What does b'simcha mean? I said before, Rabbeinu Bachaya quotes in Medrash Rus that what happened, Reuven, the son of Yaakov, when he saw that the brothers were going to kill Yosef, he saved Yosef. What did he do? He said, "Don't kill him." What should we do? Put him in a pit. What should Reuven have done? Reuven should have grabbed Yosef, carried him on his shoulders, where? Back to Yaakov Avinu. But he didn't. And he says, you know, why did he do it? It's a good question. But he says, but the Medrash says that if he had known that the Torah would write about him, that he saved Yosef, he would have carried him back to Yaakov on his shoulders. And it goes on. If Aaron HaKohen had known that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Aaron, go meet Moshe Rabbeinu, the Torah will write, Baruch HaBesamach V'libo, the Torah would write that Aaron would be happy in his heart, so then he would come out to greet Moshe of a whole band. He says, he didn't know. And if Boaz had known that the Torah would write about what he gave Ruth, he would have given her a better meal. What does that mean? They were interested in the PR. My father explained, they didn't realize his actions meant anything. That his actions really had a lot of relevance and a lot of significance. And because of that, they didn't do it. They didn't do it the way they should have. But if they had realized that the Tanakh, the Mikra, the Pesuk would write about them, and it was very significant that it had even been written about, they would have done it with much more enthusiasm. That is simcha. Simcha is to realize the significance of every event. Every mitzvah that we do, that everything we do, Kibud Av Ein, everything is so significant to realize how significant every mitzvah is. That's the idea. That's the idea of the Simcha. In Malachim Aleph, Perek Ches, source number 11, so it says that after the Chanukas Beis HaMikdash, Vayom HaShemini, Shilach Zaham, Shlomo sent the nation, Vayavarchu is the Melech, they blessed the king, Vayelcho Aleihem, they went back to their tents, Mechem Etovilei, happy with a good heart, Al Kol HaTova, of all the good Hashem did for them, for David Abdul Yisrael Amo. So the Gemara says, what does it mean, Smeichin v'tovelei? So Gemara says, so they went to their tents, and they found that that their wives were all able to be with them, they weren't nidos, and Smeichin, they were nenefes in Vashchino, alright? And then v'tovelei, the Gemara says, remember this is the culture of that time, that all their wives became pregnant and gave birth to a boy. Why a boy? Because I think in those days, when you had a male child, that symbolized continuity. But I want to focus on smeichen. They were happy. Why? Because they were nenef neziv hashchina. They all had hanah. They benefit from being close to the shchina. What does that mean? You're sameach when you realize you do something. When you realize something special, something's real. That's simcha. You have to have the simcha. And I think that that's what Chodesh Elul is about. Chodesh Elul is really about understanding and appreciating what simcha is. There's an interesting Gemara. I'm going to go back and do that right now in source number 5. Source number 5, the Gemara, it's Gemara Maseches Yuma. Gemara speaks about, you know, during the time of Shimon HaTzadik. Shimon HaTzadik was a great Kohen Gadol. I think he was a Kohen Gadol for 40 years. And until the time Shimon HaTzadik passed away, there were a lot of miracles that happened constantly in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. Constantly. Okay, one of the miracles was that there was always enough food to go around for the Kohanim. In other words, when they had the Omer, the Shtei Alechem, the two loaves of bread, the Lechem Panim and Shabbos, every Kohen got enough to eat. He says, but what happened after Shimon HaTzadik? There were certain years, not every Kohen went ahead and got a Kizayis from that Korban. Not every Kohen got. Some years they did, some years they didn't. Sometimes they got the size of a bean. A bean, not a size. So those who got the size, some of the Kohanim would say, listen, if there's not enough for everybody, and I can't fulfill the mitzvah, I don't want to take where someone else can't have. And some went and grabbed their neighbor's portion, so they could be mekayim the mitzvah. Okay? Why? Because being mekayim mitzvah is something very special. So it's fascinating. Gemara says, if you look towards, this is Daf Lamed Tesamah Beis, towards end number 5, so it refers to someone who did that, grabbed someone else's portion, a chamsan. And the Gemara says, what's a chamsan? A person who grabs something. And the Gemara says, how do you know that? So quotes a pasuk at the very end of source number 5, them do heitev, so learn what's good, dirshu mishpat, seek out justice, ishru chamutz. So go ahead and straighten up the person who has been grabbed from. The Gemara says, ishru chamutz, you should straighten up the person, you should help the person who's been grabbed from, and not to go ahead and straighten and pick up the person who grabbed. So the question is, why would I think to go ahead and to be miyasher, to straighten out the person and help the person who grabbed? Because you could say, listen, why did he grab? He grabbed to do a mitzvah. Wow, that's amazing. No. Even though a mitzvah is very special, you still shouldn't grab. And that's what, but we see from here, the eagerness people had to go ahead and do a mitzvah. And that's what I think that, that Elul is about. Elul Melech Basadeh. There aren't special mitzvahs. But we have to work on ourselves and to realize how special a mitzvah is. Now, for a number of years, I've been talking that one of our problems today, all Klal Yisrael, so one of the problems is there are a lot of Jews who don't want to live in Eretz Yisrael. That's fine. Another problem, even for Jews living in Eretz Yisrael, we're quite happy about it based on Mikdash. Why? Why not? After all, I have, Mekayim mitzvos. I love Yom Tovim. There was one year, I mentioned this before, where I went into a bookstore to buy kinos. And I bought a masifta on kinos. And there was a soft cover, and there was a hard cover. And I bought the soft cover, and I commented to the person next to me, I don't understand, why would someone spend money on a hardcover kinos? You can spend money on a soft cover kinos. Take care of it, you put it away. shouldn't get ruined. Use it one day a year. So the person said to me, he says, you know, he says to me, I'm not like you. He says to me, I'm happy with my Avodas Hashem. I love my Yom Tov, I love everything. I said, okay, so I'll buy a hardcover Kinos. So I used to always say, we had to wander the Beis HaMikdash.
This year I was learning with my children, two of my boys, before Tisha B'Av about Beit HaMikdash. And I read an article somebody wrote that what happened at that time, the emperor of Rome had given permission to the Jewish people to go build the Beis HaMikdash. And the Jews were very excited. And as a matter of fact, there were people coming to Eretz Yisrael from all over the place. It raised a lot of excitement. And then our enemies went to the emperor and they're very concerned and said, you know, if you allow the Jews to build the Beis HaMikdash, they're going to rebel against you. So the emperor said, what can I do? I want to be honest. They gave permission. Well, tell the Jews they can build a temple in a different place, a different size, never listen. And, you know, and then obviously the Jews didn't build the Beis HaMikdash, and this caused the whole rebellion, and it brought a lot of trouble for Klal Yisrael. And I looked it up, and it's a Medrash. Medrash says that Bimei Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananiah, source number 13, I'm not going to do the whole Medrash, but Gazra Malchus HaRishah, the Medrash in Parshas told us, the wicked kingdom Rome made a decree, they should build the Beis HaMikdash. And Pupis Tato Solanias, who are very famous other things, they gave their lives up on Kiddush Hashem. So they put up people, money changers all over the place, from Akko to Antuchia. He says, and therefore they were to provide for all the Olei Hagola, those come up from Golas, all the needs that are coming. There's a lot of excitement. He said, and then what happened? I was wondering. Here you want the Jews to build the Beis HaMikdash. They wanted it. Why did God take it away? Why? They wanted the Beis HaMikdash. That's what I'm always screaming about. But then I thought that maybe they wanted the Beis HaMikdash for the wrong reason. Maybe it was because it was a nationalistic tool to bring the Jews together. It wasn't because of the mitzvah per se. But we as the Jewish people have to realize how special and unique the mitzvahs are. And yes, the Beis HaMikdash is great, and Medias Yisrael is awesome. We have to realize what makes it all special is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it us, and as is every mitzvah. And that's what we have to go ahead, and that's what we have to realize. You know, the Sfas Emes, in Parshas Vaschanan, he says that Moshe Rabbeinu said, I stood upon the mountain, and you didn't stand on the mountain. Why? Because you were afraid of the fire. So the Sfas Emes asks the question, he says, what do you mean they were afraid of the fire? It was usher to go on the mountain. That's why the Jews didn't go on the mountain. I received something. I'm extra special. I received more because I went on the mountain. But you didn't go because you were afraid of the fire. But they didn't go because they weren't allowed to. And the Sfas Emes says, no. What Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is, yes. They didn't go because they realized it. How special a mountain was. They were afraid of the punishment. That's what they were afraid of.
But if you would have torn them, if you would have refrained from the mountain because you realized how special Har Sinai was, then you would have been zoche merited such great accomplishments. And that's the message of the Torah and Har Sinai. We have to realize how special the mitzvahs are because mitzvahs connect us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a Gemara Maseches Brachos, Daf Chesed and Aleph. So, source number 15. Rava said to Rava Bar Papa, let the master say certain things that he heard from Rav Chista about Beit Knesset, about a shul. So he said, what did Rav Chista say? What does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Yaakov? HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mishari Tzion, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves the gates of those who are proficient in halacha, in the Jewish law, more than all the shuls and the yeshivas. He says, why? Because from the day the temple was destroyed, it's very difficult to come close to the Shekhinah. There's no temple. Ein lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu ba'olamo. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has the four amos of halacha. If you want to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to realize there was a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have it yet. We should have it soon. But the way to come close today is to the four amos
of halacha. And he said, and then he says there were certain chachmei chazal who would learn the place where they learned halacha. And there's a Gemara Maseches Brachos that says that before you go ahead and you daven, you should learn halacha psuka, of simple halacha that you don't think about during, that doesn't cause you to distract yourself. Why? Because if you want to feel the shkina, you have to realize the shkina comes close through mitzvahs, through Talmud Torah also, but through mitzvahs, to realize how very special a mitzvah is. And I think that that's what they said. What is Melech Basada? We don't have Shabbos Yom Tov. We have Shabbos. We don't have Yom Tov from Chodesh Elul. Most of Elul is not Shabbos. Because most of Elul is we have to awaken. We have to bring a Kodesh Baruch Hu to us. And how is that done? By doing the mitzvot, but not just by doing the mitzvot. By realizing how very special and how unique every single mitzvah is. A very special every mitzvah is. You know, sometimes we get so involved in actions. And you know, we don't even realize, wow, you know, but every single mitzvah is so special. And that seeing God in the field where there aren't the special mitzvahs. So to realize how special it is. The we just to finish off with two ideas. So right after Yom Kippur comes Sukkot. There's halacha and hilchos sukkah that be very careful not to bring dirty pots into the sukkah. Right? As a matter of fact, you shouldn't bring any pot into the sukkah. So a person who would never bring a pot to his dining room table, because it's not nice, should not bring a pot into the sukkah table. So I remember as a child, so we had our sukkah on the second floor. And to go dish out the soup from the kitchen downstairs is very hard. My mother would bring all the pots upstairs, but leave it in the bedroom, not into the sukkah, because you can't bring pots into the sukkah. She says, why would you think that you could bring the pots into a sukkah? Because the sukkah is not as nice as your house. To realize, the sukkah might not be as nice as your house, but it's still a mitzvah. And you have to mechaber the mitzvah. And that's what has to come out after, as you get ready to leave Yom Kippur. That's what they say, Simchas Torah about. Why is it the happiest day? Why is it so happy? We say, we don't have shofar, we don't have luvan esrog, no sukkah. We still have the Torah and mitzvos. That's what's dear for us. Now, I would just mention that if we want to greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly as He comes to greet us, as we go to Him, Roshan Yom Kippur, we have to be prepare ourselves during Chodesh Elul. How to prepare ourselves during Chodesh Elul? Prepare ourselves during Chodesh Elul by going ahead and realizing how special and unique every mitzvah is. That's, you know, we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reestablish the connection. We go ahead and we connect Elul through our Torah to Tshuva. We blow the shofar. It's to awaken us to realize that if we want to have a close connection, we want to come close, we have to work on ourselves now. I once heard somebody say, a person does not mourn for Yerushalayim a whole year, can't mourn properly in Tisha B'Av. A person doesn't use Elul properly to realize how special the everyday mundane mitzvahs are. I don't like using the word mundane, but the everyday mitzvahs that we have all the time, how special they are. You can't greet HaKadosh Baruch Hu properly in this palace. That's what Chodesh Elul is about, to realize how special every mitzvah is. What's Chodesh Elul about? So, a number of years ago, I think a little more than 5 years ago, I forgot already, but 6 years ago, as some of you know, I donated a kidney to somebody. Now, after the surgery, she had a catheter. And then, I also did. I took mine out right away. I think, in her, it was then she had it for like a week, 2 days. And she told me, as I went to visit her before I left the hospital, that first Asher Yatzar is going to be something very special. I wasn't zochah to hear that first Asher Yatzar. I wasn't zochah to hear it. But, you know, there's so many special things that we do every single day. Everyone runs the shofar, everyone loves sukkah, arba minim. But every day, every mitzvah is so special, because that's how we awaken and bring God close to us when God's in the field. We bring God to the sada. And Chodesh Elul is that time to focus and realize how blessed we are, how special we are. We have these mitzvahs. And these mitzvahs will help us come to God in the Sada, which will in the end enable us to go into God's palace in Yom Nerayim.
I think the next year is after Rosh Hashanah, right?
So what about the story about the Machir?
Sorry, yeah.
Oh, the Machir. So I think actually that I hate to say it. That you're right. I think the first story of the Machir is my father wouldn't have done that. That was the story. Why? Because even though you really want a mitzvah, but you just know that there were many gedolim in Europe. I saw this, that they wouldn't go ahead and do a mitzvah if no one else could do the mitzvah. And that's why those people, so out of the tznuim, wouldn't take a piece of the korban if not everyone else can get it. They would separate themselves. Right? Because really, even though a mitzvah is very special, but if you're going to do the mitzvah, it's expensive to somebody else. Wonderful year.